Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Do you feel rested and at peace right now? Or are you bombarded with obstacles keeping you from true soul rest? You are exhausted from the inside out. Hello. Daily life can be a grind, can it? It can be full of confusion, chaos, etc.
Yes. And so we spoke with Tessa Afshar about her book, The Rested Soul, and now I want to get one for almost everyone I know.
That's how good this conversation was. It's too good for us not to share with you. My guess is God has made a divine appointment. So rather than skip through this, I know we all skip through the podcast, you might just want to let this one roll. The Lord has really used you in your writing in a lot of different ways. I mean, the awards are nice, and that's an encouragement. I know it is from the Lord, actually. But, you know, to see God actually take your stories, your novels, and then your other books as well. Like, for instance, The Way Home, God's Invitation to New Beginnings, that won a Christian Book of the Year award. You know, all of this has to be almost, how do I put this? Overwhelming to you?
Well, only God can accomplish some of the things that you are explaining, because I was born in the Middle East. I was born in a nominally Muslim family. English isn't even my first language. I moved to England when I was almost 14, and I didn't become a Christian until I was in my mid-20s. So here I am, a Muslim-born woman who, you know, my first experience of Jesus was in a dream. I didn't become a Christian in that dream, but that was the first time I met Jesus, and finally becoming a Christian. To think that now I make my living writing Christian books, you know, it's just extraordinary. Who but God can open those doors, truly?
You've shared this with us before at a previous visit, but since you touched on it there, we may have some folks, obviously, who were not with us when we were chatting about this. The dream. Tell us about that dream.
Yes. I was going through a season, I was in my mid-20s, I was going through a very difficult season in my life. And in a way, I sort of felt like I had no hope for my future. And I didn't know how to get beyond where I was. And one night I had a dream. I was by the Sea of Galilee. Now, you have to remember that even though I had been to church as a 14-year-old and sort of as a teenager for a couple of years, because I went to school, to a boarding school in England, we were told to sit upstairs and to read our own holy books, which mine would have been the Quran. It would have been in Arabic. I didn't speak Arabic. I spoke Persian, and I couldn't read it. But I was too shy to explain that unlike the Bible, for us Christians, translating the Bible to people's heart languages is really important, because we want God to connect with them as intimately as possible. The Quran can only be read in Arabic in order for it to be really useful in a faith kind of way. Otherwise, it's not really considered of any use in your life. So I thought, well, I don't want to explain all this. I'm too shy. I'm just going to go upstairs in the church and sit and read, as they told me, but I'll read romance novels. So that's what I read in church. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. So in the dream, I was by the Sea of Galilee, and I saw a man walking toward me. And I knew in the dream that this was Jesus. So I was very curious to see, what does Jesus look like? And so I'm very embarrassed to say that my first experience of Jesus was a disappointment, because when I had in my waking life, I had seen Jesus in two movies that they showed during Easter and Christmas when I was a kid. And in both versions, Jesus was very good looking. The actor playing Jesus was very good looking. But in my dream, he was very plain. He was homely.
Yeah.
So my first response to Jesus was like, that's Jesus? God couldn't do any better for his son. But within a moment, I was able to look him in the eyes. And all of that superficial experienced all of that superficial reaction just wiped away within a minute, because in his eyes I saw a love that I truly cannot explain. It was the love that knows you all the way deep down to your bones and yet accepts you, that delights in you, that will never reject you. And within, at the same time as that love, I knew in those eyes I saw a power that I couldn't explain. I knew whatever he said to me would come to pass, even if it seemed impossible. This is before he said a word. It was just looking into his eyes. And I remember the combination of the power and that melting love. In the dream, I almost fell to my knees, which always reminds me of that verse in Philippians, where it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord. And it's exactly what experience that I had. So when I woke up from this dream, I had 3 days of unshakable peace, but I didn't know how to be a Christian. I still didn't understand. You know, my conscious mind had to catch up. And shortly after that, the Lord surrounded me with Christians who invited me to Bible study, to church, gave me a Bible, you know, all of that. And more than anything, even though at that time I couldn't really understand the Bible, I understood that they were different. They were full of love. Sort of took me in as a daughter, and that's how little by little I remember thinking, I kept asking them, like, what is it about you? Why are you so different? Why are your marriages so healthy? Why are, you know, what's made you like this? And they kept saying, Jesus. And I remember at the time thinking, because I came from, it wasn't the Muslim background. It was that my family were nominal and they felt like all the faiths were exactly the same, that really there's a God, but we don't really need religion. And so I was like, yeah, I don't really need this Jesus fella. What's your secret? And they kept saying, no, it is Jesus.
It's Jesus. Yeah.
So one day I thought, you know, 99%, they're wrong, I'm right. But 1%, what if I'm wrong? And I always say that's all Jesus needs is your 1%. And I fell in love with him. It's really as simple as that.
Wow.
Wow. I love
that
story.
As simple and as beautiful as that. I knew when we had invited Tessa to be with us that I had to get her to share that story. So there was a bit of an agenda there, because Tessa, I love that story, and the fact that God has entrusted that story to you, that's something really special. So thank you for sharing that again. Touches us every time we hear it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Curt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
You know what? When I think, Tessa, about anxiety, I was just reading. One of my favorite Bible books is Philippians, of course. And, you know, this is one of those, I don't know, verses I return to over and over again. I'm sure a lot of people do. But Philippians 4, you know, verses 6 and 7, love these verses. And when I think about anxiety, I tend to go here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then also, I can't give the address on this one. I believe it's, I think it's in the Psalms, but when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations, O Lord, delight my soul. Let's talk about your personal battle with anxiety.
Yeah, by the way, I love those verses too. I think for me, anxiety began about 20 years ago. I started a pretty intense battle with anxiety. It began with burnout at my job. I had been kind of pushing the boundaries of how God had created me for a length of time. And I had been working beyond my capacity. I think the Lord creates us all in a certain way, and the Bible has a rhythm of rest and work, which He allows us to break for limited periods of time for specific things, but it's not meant to be a way of life, and I had made it a way of life. And so that burnout had caused me to be under the weather. So I was experiencing that kind of burnout. Then I experienced the discouragement that came from physically sick, from that kind of breaking my capacity of work. And then it finally led to this season of anxiety, which I couldn't shake. And there are a few things I realized. Like for me, there were certain blocks to practicing what Philippians 4 says, be anxious for nothing. Well, that's easier said than done when you are stuck in that place.
Yeah.
And one of the things I realized that was that the block for me, if you had asked me when I started that journey, why are you burned out? I would have said, it's the external circumstances of my life. It's the particular job I have to do. But as I walked through this with God, as I walked it out, what I realized was actually, no, part of it was the external circumstance, but the bigger part was something internal to me. And it had to do with a wound of rejection from childhood. So what I was trying to do with my job was to rejection-proof my life, was abandon-proof my life. I was going to be so good. I was going to be so needed and so perfect at my work that nobody would ever say, we don't need you, or, you know, we're going to walk away from you, that they would all want to hold on to me and need me so much. And that's, you know, that's not why God gave us work. So I wasn't supposed to be, so the scales that I was using to measure what success looked like were completely off. They were not accurate scales. They were not accurate measures. And God frowns upon that because it always hurts somebody, in this case, me. So my measure of success had to do with how well I was protecting myself from rejection and abandonment. And you may have a different block. You know, your block may be jealousy or anger. Your block may be self-condemnation. Whatever your block is, you have to recognize what is the deeper root. So finding my block was one of the steps I had to take. And I think that was the reason for me, God did not take me through this journey very quickly. It wasn't like I, you know, fasted 3 days, said 3 really great prayers and said hallelujah, and I was relieved from anxiety. It took a couple of years and then some more. There's a verse in Deuteronomy where Israel is about to enter into the promised land, and they're told, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. And I think that the Israelites at that point must have, like, their hearts must have said, well, why not all at once? Like, we want the all at once answer. We want all of that wiped away before us. But God is saying, look, the all at once answer actually opens the door to something worse. You'll have wild animals to contend with. They'll take away your life. They will take away your cattle. You know, it's actually going to be worse for you. So the good answer is little by little. And someone may be listening right now who's longing for an all-at-once answer in their lives. They desperately want God to take something away right away because it hurts so much. And God is whispering, no, you need a little by little answer. You need to walk through this because I don't want the wild beasts of your life, whatever they are, to come into the train of your soul and take over. So trust God in the little by littles. That's how he answered me in my anxiety.
That is so good. Trust God in the little by littles. Yeah. You know, it's also, what about, let's see, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 10. Yes. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need, here it is, yeah, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. You have need of endurance. Endurance and perseverance leads to character, and character, hope, and all of that. And you can't skip the line on this, otherwise you don't end up with what God wants for you. I think that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think, Kurt, really, sometimes endurance is what you need to build up. You start the journey with only a little bit, a mustard seed of endurance, and by the end, the Lord builds up a greater amount in your life. And I think, you know, one of the things I realized during the journey was that I needed some anchor points, because when you're going through anxiety, in the midst of anxiety, you can't reason with it. And so I needed something that very quickly would bring me to a place of stability long enough that then I could even pray. And what I learned was that there were certain key places, phrases in the Bible that I could hold on to that would just calm me. But it doesn't come very quickly. So for me, one of those key phrases was just the word Father. This might not work for you if you have a fraught relationship with your dad. You may need a different anchor point. But what I did was I spent a lot of time reading about the fatherhood of God in the Bible. What does it mean that he's my provider? What does it mean that he's my protector? What does it mean that he never abandons me, that he's always there? And so when anxiety would come, in time I learned when I would say, Father, my soul would remember, I'm not alone in this. He's not just going to let me fall into the ether with nothing underneath. Underneath me are the everlasting arms. And so learning how to create anchor points for yourself. And as I said, you know, for it takes time. For you, Father, may not be. So a good one for you, for example, as you're listening, maybe there's a verse in Micah, and it's Micah chapter 2, and it's talking about the coming Messiah. So it's talking about Jesus, and it calls him, he who opens the breach goes up before them, they break through and pass the gate going out by it. In another translation, it calls him the breaker. So if you have a wall that you can't break through yourself, there's some kind of wall. It may be anxiety, maybe discouragement, it may be some external issue in your life that discourages you beyond what you can handle. You just use that word, either the one who opens the breach or the breaker, because his job, part of the very nature of Christ, is to open a breach and go up before you. So remember, you are not there by yourself opening this breach in anxiety, this wall. He is going to go ahead and do that for you.
Amen.
Well, see, this beautiful. Is good. Do you see how she put that together, Kate? I mean, just how it makes so much sense. And this is the right use of the Word of God. That's so instructive. Yeah. Let's talk about, you have several things in your book here, but let's talk about holding fast. There are some people who need this message, I'm thinking here this morning, who are tuning in. And you never know, right? When you have these conversations, it's the beauty of live Christian radio. You just never really know when the Lord is going to bring the right people to the conversation at just the right time. But maybe there are some folks who need to glean some principles from this big idea of holding fast. Why don't you share from the heart?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. If I may, I'm going to start with sort of this imagery. My hubby and I attended a glass blowing workshop. We kind of learning how to shape glass. And one of the things I learned right away is in order for glass to be molten and malleable enough for you to work with it, it has to go into this blazing furnace. And aptly, it's called the glory hole. And so the furnace is what keeps the glass molten. When the glass comes out, it's actually this droopy thing at the end of a metal, and it's always in danger of flopping to the floor and shattering. And the only thing that saves it from that is that close attachment to the rod and therefore to the glass maker. So I kind of feel like maybe you can see where I'm going with this, that we are like that glass that... you know, when you are in the glory hole of life and you come away and you feel all molten and you feel like you can hardly hold yourself together, that the way that the best place to be is in fact attached to the person who is in charge of you. In Deuteronomy, God says to his people, show God to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tight to him. And this word holding tight, it's sort of means holding fast. It's the same word that's used in Ruth when Ruth clings to Naomi, holds fast to Naomi. It's also the same word that talks about marriage relationship. Cling to his wife, a man shall cling to his wife. And so this holding fast is what God wants of us. And it's really the best way sometimes when you're going through that glory hole of life. The first thing that I learned as a glassmaker was that every plunge into that glory hole had a purpose behind it. So don't think when you're going through some of these difficulties in your life that it's wasted. God has an intention. And the best choice you can make at that point, when you feel all floppy, when you feel like you're just, you can't really stand, you know, your knees are going to give away any minute now. The best choice you can make is to remain attached to God. This is the way to be victorious, to emerge from the season victoriously. It's for your soul to learn this consistency of attachment to God, because that depth of attachment, if you learn it right now, will open floodgates to his consolation and guidance. You can't hold yourself together right now, maybe. Maybe someone's listening to this and they're saying, I cannot hold myself together anymore. And Jesus knows that. But you only need to hold on to him. You don't have to hold yourself together. You only have to hold on to Jesus during this season. And he will hold you together. And just know the glory hole is not without purpose. There's a reason for this season.
Thanks for listening to Curtain Cape Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.